Good morning, Pastor Eaton, with you on the Bible Baptist Hour. And we began a new message last week. We'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. Bible Baptist Church located in Lupton on the east side of the road. So no matter which way you come in town, you can find us. 9:45 for Sunday school. 11 o'clock for the morning service. 6 o'clock for the evening service. Midweek is Thursday night, and it's at 7 o'clock. Teen time, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Younger youth, 9 to 12, or 5 to 12, I'm thinking is. They are on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Why did this happen? Boy, I don't know how many times I've asked that question and basically didn't get an answer always. Sometimes God does things and he just doesn't tell you because he has the right to do them. But anyways, we hope the message will be a help to you, a blessing to you, an encouragement in some way. Maybe help you see some things you've been trying to find in your life. Well, God's got the answers, all right. So listen closely at the end of the program here in just a few minutes, and our announcer will give you an address where you can write to. The song, Does Jesus Care? He does. He cares more than you think he cares. And he cares if you just talk to him. So do that. That's the song. Right after the song's over, into the message, Why Did This Happen? And I hope it'll be a help to you.
My Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my heart is faint, too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it all? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior.
You know why Jonah didn't go to Nineveh? Because he knew God was merciful, and if he preached, those people might do it, and he didn't want them bunch of pagans to live. He wanted them destroyed. And he made more out of the deal than was out of it. I mean, to get swallowed by a whale and get puked back up, that's a whole lot to go through to make something more serious than this, don't you think? But some of you do that. Some of you just be puked just so it'd be serious. You just love to be puked. Some of you just enjoy trouble. You live for it. If it's not, you make something happen so that you can have something going on. Amen. You make things more serious than what they are. You know, your child gets caught cheating and you want to hang them. Forgetting how much you cheated. Forgetting how you got through it. Forgetting how God taught you some lessons. You think thing when anything happens, you make a major catastrophe out of it. And that's, they said, he's sick unto death. Jesus said, oh, he's not going to die. He'll be all right. This is the God of the universe. He's going to die. Oh, no big deal. Die? It's a pretty big deal, don't you think? Help me out here. Don't you think dying's a pretty big deal? He didn't think it was. Jesus referred to it as sleep. Sleep. This occurred that Jesus might be glorified. Did you ever think that what happens to you is supposed to be for the glorification of God? And yet, boy, we just make a, we make it a devil's den. I'm not kidding you. Things happen and sometimes you make a devil's den out of it. Why don't you let God get some glory out of it? When it comes along, rather than crying and whining and belly, why don't you say, well, praise God, there's something in here. I don't know what it is, but God's got something. And I know that's not easy to do. I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm telling you there's a purpose for why it happened. You remember, we won't turn to it, but you remember Luke 5, a palsied man came for being healed. Remember his bringer tours? The guy that brought him there, they couldn't figure out a way to get him in, so they went up on the roof, took off the roof, and laid him down through there. And it was said so that God could be glorified. That's why he was palsied. Luke 7, we find a young man dies. He's the only son of his mother. She has no husband. She's a widow. She has nobody to take care of her. They're carrying his son down the street in the beer there. Well, we call it the casket. And some of you, if I say beer, get thirsty. But I'm carrying him down the road there. And Jesus comes along, touches it. The young man sets up. Read about it. It was so God could get the glory. You see, everything's not as serious as you make it. You have a tendency to blow things out of proportion. When something happens, you want to, oh my, did you know what's going to happen when that's, well, you can't imagine what's going to be said when, well, yeah, you keep talking, everybody's going to know. Look at Luke 10. Say, preacher, are you preaching at me? Well, if it's hitting you, yeah. If it's not, I'm not. John 10. I'm sorry, Luke 10. Well, you should know where I'm going anyways. Don't take it serious. Luke 10, verse 41. Jesus answers unto her, Martha, Martha. Marianne, I cannot read that. Every time I read that, I remember that story. Told Martha, Martha. Okay. Martha, if you don't know the story, I'll have her tell it sometime. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about what? He said, Martha, you take it too serious. All he was doing was coming in for dinner, and she was making a major, you know, meal out of it. She was acting like she was a catering service. He said, you're making this more than what it is. You're troubled about too many things. Come on, folks. You take things too serious sometimes. Well, everything's serious, Pastor. No, it's not. Some of the troubles that come into your life are there for God to get glory, and you're going to give the devil all the credit for it that you can give it to him. And God's trying to do something in your life. Maybe he's trying to get rid of something in your life. Maybe he's trying to bring something into your life. Maybe he's trying to build something in your life. You're going to make something more out of it than it is. You take it too serious. Sometimes you and I make a situation worse by telling how bad it is. Yeah, y'all aren't with me. We can't leave it alone. We have to keep harping on it, talking about it, bringing it up, hashing it over. We think that's going to fix it. It don't fix it. It don't fix it. Why? Because you can't fix it. There's not a situation that comes in my life or your life I can fix by talking about it.
That's right, bro.
Now, I'm not saying that maybe you shouldn't get some counsel about some things that come in your life. I'm not talking about you, you know, sitting down, maybe saying to somebody, you know, what do you think I should do here? I'm talking about just in trying to make, oh, is that bad? Oh, I'll tell you what? And you just keep rah, rah, rah. And you find a pile of manure that has nothing to do with it, but you add it because it just looks good. Everything's not as serious as you make it. You say, well, Pastor, I think, I know. See, now it's a problem. Maybe you should quit and start reading. Maybe you should quit thinking about it and get in his book and read about it and realize that God has some intended purposes for things that come along in life. No, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes they're not what we intend. Do you think Lazarus intended to die? You think he intended to get sick? No, but it happened, didn't it? And God said it happened. Jesus said it happened so God could get glory, so the Son of Man could be glorified. That's why it's happening. No, he didn't intend to do that. I don't think the palsy man intended that. I don't think the man born blind said in the womb, I'd just like to be born deaf and blind when I'm born. I just think that'd be the best thing. God does things for his purpose. And rather than us trying to figure it all out, work it all out, and making it more than what it is, we should say, Lord, I don't know what's in this, and I don't know why you're doing this, and I don't understand this, and this hurts. Don't you know that it hurt Mary and Martha when they were sitting in the house and a day went by and Jesus didn't show up and Lazarus died and Jesus still didn't show up and they wondered, he's our friend. He loves us. He cares about us. He sat right here at my table and just said, I love you folks. You're so precious to me. And you, whenever I come by here, you fix me a meal and you got a bed for me and you take care of me and you see to my needs. And Mary, you have wiped my feet and you have anointed me. I love you. Here they are sitting there in the house and this man who loved them so much and he showed up. He didn't even send a return message. He didn't say, go back to them and tell them I'll be there. It's going to be all right. He told everybody else that, but he didn't tell them that. How about that? How about that? This man who loved them so much didn't even send back a message. How unthankful, how uncaring was that? You see, you're talking about Jesus. I know who I'm talking about. I read it. That's the way you take it, though. Just remember, he's smarter than you no matter what you think. He knows more what's right to do than you'll ever know what's right to do. And whether you think the situation shouldn't be what it is, doesn't matter. I don't think Paul intended on going to jail. But he got there, and when he got there, he didn't say, I'll tell you what, serve the Lord, preach on the streets, hand out tracts, and I've suffered for Jesus. Oh, what'd you do? He lets me go to jail. No, he got down there and he says, you know a verse of It Is Well With My Soul? They got to singing It Is Well With My Soul down there in the prison, and God of heaven couldn't handle it. He said, what's wrong with them numbskulls? I get them put in jail. I get them beat up. I get them whipped. And they're down there saying, it is well. It is well with my soul. Let's get them in an earthquake. Amen. Listen to this. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. See, he said, just expect it. It's going to come. Things are going to happen. Life is going to fall apart. Things aren't going to be the way you planned them at all. They're not going to be the way you planned them at all. And I'm not saying some of it ain't my fault or your fault. Yeah, it probably is. But he's still going to get the glory out of it. I mean, if you just let him have it and quit trying to make something out of it, it ain't. To verse 6, John 11. And when he had heard, therefore, he was sick, he abode 2 days till in the same place where he was. Every situation in life is not always understandable. I promise you that in this room there are people who, once in a while, you just scratch your head saying, I don't understand. I don't understand. Maybe you've done everything you can, and all of a sudden, the bottom fell out. And I'm going to tell you something. You probably never figure it out on this side. And you might get on the other side, and he won't tell you over there either. Why? Because the other side ain't going to make no difference anyway. You ain't going to care how it turns out. But there are going to be some things on this earth that are going to happen, and it doesn't matter what you do, you're never going to understand why they happen. Now, we all figure and plan and think, and I can see why this, and I can see why that. And there may be some truth to that. You may be able to see some things that God did that hadn't happened. But there just may be some things you just scratch your head and say, He purposefully waits 2 days. Look, when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days. They said, Lazarus is sick and he's going to die. He said, okay, tell you what, I've been wanting to go down to the zoo. Let's just go down to the zoo, take 2 days at the zoo. You know, I've been wanting to ride the Ferris wheel, and I just haven't had a chance to do that since I've been here. I'm not trying to make God an idiot. I'm trying to show you that he purposely waited 2 days when he heard he should have got the first train. He said, is there a plane leaving for Bethany? Verse 8, his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again? Sometimes trouble's to be expected. Is there anybody in here who thinks they're so pure and so holy that trouble should never come your way? Huh? Anybody here who thinks you're supposed to be exempt from it? Verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walk in a day, he stumbles not because he seeth the light of the world, of this world. But if a man walk in night, he stumbles because there's no light in him. Sometimes the reason why we fail to understand things is because of lack of light. Number one, let me say this, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, that every lost man in this world has no light because the devil has blinded their minds that they might not understand or see the glorious light of the gospel. So the reason why sometimes you testify to a man and he just shrugs it off and spits in your face and walks off, he isn't got any light. He can't. But I want to tell you the second thing. According to Ephesians 5, verse 14, he said, awake thou that sleepeth, and Christ shall give thee light. There are people, maybe even in this room today, the reason why you can't understand anything is because the light's off. You're not going to understand anything in this world outside of this book. Outside of this book, you'll get no light on anything that exists in this world. You can be saved, you can know all the answers, but you can live in darkness as a Christian because you refuse to get the light. And the reason why sometimes Christians don't understand things, and I don't make them more serious than what they are, and I just don't understand, because you're not reading this book, but you're listening to everything else that goes on. And you're living in darkness. Jesus said, a man stumbles in the night. Why? Because there's no light. He didn't say there was any light on the street, did he? Read it. Did he say there was any light on the street? Where did he say the light was? No light in him. Be careful of all the words in your King James Bible. They're there for a purpose. And the reason why sometimes things go along in our life and we just throw up the hands and, well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Lights out. So I don't see how God could get any glory out of that. He didn't ask you for your insight. He didn't ask you for your opinion on why you thought that should happen or shouldn't happen. He didn't ask you for the permission to let it happen. He didn't go to Mary Martha and say, is it all right? There's something I want to do. I've got to show everybody something. Can I let your brother die? He didn't ask their permission, did he? And he's not going to ask your permission when things come in your life. He's not going to come to you and say, is it okay if I let? Why? Because most of us say no. There's not anybody in this room that's ever gone through anything or going through anything right now that would say, it's just exactly what I wanted. I'm not being funny. I'm facing the fact. That's the truth of it. And we laugh because it's true. But the truth of it is nobody in this room would ask for it. We wouldn't want it. Even if he said to you, but I'm going to solve it. Why? We just wouldn't want to go through the hassle. Why go through the hassle? What's the purpose? We'd say, could you try somebody else? Verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now watch. And I'm glad. Here's this man who told you up here 9 verses before that he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, his brother. And then he says, he's dead. And I'm glad for your sake that he's dead. Let me ask you a question. Your mama dies. Your daddy dies. Your son dies. Your daughter dies. Your husband dies. Your wife dies. Your grandma dies. And you come to me and say, Pastor, well, tell you, my wife died. I said, boy, I'm glad. Now, don't you know you'd go, you know, Pastor, you're about as uncaring as a buffalo in the middle of a china shop. As a matter of fact, if I told you that, not only would you cry and get mad, but you wouldn't have anything to do with me. You would probably pack your bags and leave this church and you'd go around the community telling everybody how uncaring the pastor is. He's glad that my mama died. He's glad that my daddy died. He's glad that my wife died. He's glad that my husband died. He's glad that my kid died. You see, your picture of Jesus Christ is about the same as the liberals.
Right.
Some loving, lowly Galilean who walked around and never hurt anybody's feelings and never said anything to offend anybody and always did everything just right. He just told you he's glad somebody died. And the reason why you don't take it serious is because you know what he's going to do. You read the rest of the story.
Right.
But if you'd have been there at that moment, don't you know as a disciple you'd have went, what did he say? Did he say just what I thought he said? He said, Lazarus is dead, and he's glad he's dead for our sake? Why our sake? What about Mary and Martha? How do you think they feel? Remind me never to tell Jesus anything. Look at verse 20. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Now, you're going to have to deal with me for here just a little bit, but let me tell you this. Every action has its own reward. Every action has its own reward. Everything that I say, everything that I do, has its own reward. Are you following me here now? You will in a minute. If you're not now, you will in a minute. Everything you do, everything you say, has its own reward. Martha went to Jesus and says, look at verse 21, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.